It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Wisconsin is set to receive more than $700 million in settlement funds from companies that contributed to the opioid crisis. That calculation is from the State Justice Department. Most of the funds will go to dozens of local governments that were part of the litigation. We discuss ways these funds could be used to prevent and treat opioid use disorder. And we hear from you. Call in with a question. You can share comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sarah Sorum is Executive Vice President and CEO of the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin. Sarah, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
So glad to be joining this morning. Thanks.
Yes. And Lori Vedura is co-founder of Saving Others for Archie. That's an organization named after her son who died from a fentanyl-laced substance in 2014. Lori, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me, Kate. I'm happy to meet you, Sarah, as well.
Lori, let's start with you. This May, 10 years will have passed since Archie since you lost your son, Archie, how are your efforts to raise awareness of opioid addiction different today than in past years?
Well, I just, first of all, cannot believe that it's going to be 10 years this May. Never in my life did I think that this is the path that I would lead. But unfortunately, there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of families who are in the same boat I am. And in 2014, I, you know, had no idea of what, where my world was heading. So you just are never prepared to lose a child. And I don't think it matters in what way that you do lose a child. Archie was a wonderful, full of life, full of joy, human being that just lived every day and was a happy human being. But he, you know, struggled with substance use, really started in high school. So for him, I look and I did everything to try to save him and realized that I couldn't. And I really thought I did. But those 4 years of high school were really not any heart drugs. It was really marijuana, which he called his best ADHD medicine. But for him, it's really what hijacked his brain. So when I look at the day that we lost Archie in May 2014 and where we are today, my efforts are completely different because this wasn't, you know, that year alone in 2014, Wisconsin lost 622 people to this terrible epidemic. And it wasn't, you know, even on the radar for any people. And the stigma was so huge, I can't even tell you what it was like. And here we are now as a nation, it's 300 people a day over that we're losing. And I can't tell you. I mean, my efforts as far as an organization have ramped. We've gone from having one major event a year to this past year, we had five.
Sarah, over the next several years, Wisconsin is set to receive more than $700 million from the settlements of lawsuits with manufacturers. How are the roles of pharmacists different now that opioid use disorder is better understood?
Yeah, Lori, it's really wonderful to have you on and nice to meet you too. I think you're right that there's been a lot of progress made with stigma and stigma among the approaches that healthcare providers take in managing individuals with substance use disorder. And so I think that's been a great evolution. Healthcare providers, including pharmacists, are learning about substance abuse disorder in their training. It's become a focus of the policies and procedures that pharmacies have developed. So I think there's really a recognition among healthcare providers that this is an all hands on deck approach, and pharmacists are the most accessible healthcare providers and certainly play a role in aspects of the harm reduction and treatment of patients with substance use disorder.
Right, because, pharmacists, you could say that they're on the front lines of dispensing opioid pain meds. I mean, what is that front line of defense of engaging the patient on what they're taking?
Yeah, truly, it's a really important that we're educating the public about the seriousness of these medications, and there's definitely a place in therapy for opioids, and there's also drug interactions and issues that people can encounter. Diversion of opioids is typically the place where many individuals first have their exposure to opioids in their substance use disorder journeys. And so, education, I think, is the first step. There's also other mitigation strategies that communities are using that pharmacists are involved in, like disposal or take back programs, naloxone distribution. And so I think it's, a very multi-pronged approach that we can, pharmacists from our lens can play a role in.
We're talking about the opioid crisis with Sarah Sorum there of the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin, Lori Badura of Saving Others for Archie. You can join in with questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Lori, your organization, as you said, is putting on these events after event, raising money, and then turning around and distributing that to other groups running opioid treatment and recovery programs in Wisconsin. Where do you see the greatest need for the opioid settlement funds coming into the state?
Thank you for bringing that up, because I have never in, I would say in the last 10 years, seen such a just a rise. My phone constantly rings with families and individuals, asking for help and what can they do. I have a resource guide that is statewide. I partner with an organization called With Hope, and we made this booklet that's a mental health and substance use for Wisconsin resource guide. We'll make sure to give you a link so you can
Thanks.
have it. But more than anything, there's a big bottleneck. I'm so happy because I agree exactly with what Sarah has said. The stigma, there's so much work that has been done and so many people that have really done countless times and efforts. I'm sure, Sarah, you probably sit on several different, task forces, and that aren't paid that you're doing in your time that I've been doing for my last 10 years that I'm on, but in prevention, harm reduction, treatment and recovery, and trying to see what the unmet needs are. But within my organization in these past 6 months, what I'm seeing the bottleneck is really in the funding and trying to get the funding to come in to the patient when they are coming to try to get their overall funds to get the treatment. And the problem is they can get Medicaid, but for some reason there's a bottleneck. They get through their treatment with the Medicaid, and then when they get through it, they can't get to, say, a long-term, like a sober living or a long-term living place where, if they just go home, they're going to relapse. And that's not a good thing. I believe in, really a long-term solution so that we can get them back into working, back into getting, a good a situation that's safe and they can work their treatment program still by working. That they need a funds for that. And that typically goes from anywhere from $700 to $1,400 a month. They don't have it, but there is funds out there. So SOFA has, I would say about two a month for the past 6 months, individuals that I've sponsored, and I'm a small organization, but I get multiple requests. in for these scholarships that my board will, you know, either and I have letters that they say what they're going to do, what the accountability is going to be, what kind of job they're seeking, and it's all statewide. And even I
So
help people out of state.
there's rehabilitation and there's that process, that journey, but there's also aftercare, the continuing support, you know, that needs to be the follow-up and along this continuum of recovery, that aftercare process is not being adequately funded.
Well, it's yes, because it
Okay.
needs to go forward, but also Medicaid currently does not cover room and board, and what they do cover for residential treatment for substance use disorder, it really does not adequate to actually pay the bills. They're having to the consumers, the individuals having to, you know, give more of their money, and they really don't have it. I mean, they're not working, so they're having to, you know, ask family members and friends to help them. And if it's a 30-day or if it's an intensive outpatient treatment, they're having to come up with funds to help with that, you know, their room and board, even on, you know, their residential treatment. The same is said for outpatient. They do not pay adequately to be able to support a clinic, to be able to provide services for people with substance use disorder that have Medicaid. So I just see that there's a little bit of a bottleneck. I'm not sure how the state, because I know the money's there. It just needs to go a little bit smoother because sadly, people are really trying to, you know, get help. And it's a very, very stressful situation. I see it. They're scared and they don't want to slip backwards. And time is, you know, it's clicking. The clock is ticking.
Lori Bedura is co-founder of Saving Others for Archie to raise awareness about the dangers of opioids and to prevent more deaths. And pharmacist Sarah Sorum, CEO of the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin, is here. Call in with a question, share perspectives, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Opioid manufacturers and distributors will pay tens of billions of dollars to settle lawsuits over the toll of opioids. And our state justice department estimates Wisconsin's share tops $700 million. We get perspectives on how those funds can be used to prevent and treat opioid use disorder. Lori Bedura co-founded the advocacy group Saving Others for Archie, and Sarah Sorum is CEO of the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin. You can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question, share thoughts, 800-642-1234. Sarah, your organization created a toolkit to help guide pharmacists and the government allocating the settlement money. What tools are in this toolkit that can help reduce opioid abuse?
There's so many great efforts that are happening truly at the grassroots level in communities across the state. And we know that pharmacists are just one part of that picture for how to address this epidemic in an all hands on deck approach. So the toolkit that we created is designed to empower pharmacists to connect with their local officials, county governments, to say, here's how I can help. And it includes focuses on harm reduction, stigma, naloxone distribution, medication disposal, syringe service programs, a number of other tools that are in the toolbox for how the pharmacist can be part of the team-based care approach to address the epidemic. And also, too, from a treatment standpoint, Lori did a great job of talking about the issues around long-term recovery. We know that medications are often an important role in treatment and long-term recovery. And so pharmacists can also play a role in long-acting injectable administration in the pharmacy to be accessible and really keep patients out of challenging situations.
How has the toolkit been received?
We have been so pleased with the reception around the toolkit. I mean, I think we're just at, there's been really great conversations that have happened in communities, but community plans are still underway. And so I think it's the perfect time for us to be raising awareness about this resource. I've also had the opportunity to share our toolkit beyond Wisconsin because other states are dealing with this same issue. And it is just amazing the outpouring of response from healthcare providers across the country to say, we want to help. We need the tools to be able to help. And this infusion of resources in communities is going to help accelerate our efforts.
Let's bring on a call now at 800-642-1234. Martha in Menominee. Martha, hi.
Hi, good morning. I don't know Archie's story, and I tuned in right away, but my question is, I've heard, and I don't know if this is true, that in states that have medical marijuana or marijuana laws, the opioid abuse rates are way down compared to states that don't. And Archie's mother mentioned that he did use marijuana to help with his issues. I don't know the backstory, but could Archie not get the marijuana he was using that caused the opioids to become so,
Yeah.
important, as such a thing? I'm just wondering what the guests feel about the role of marijuana and if it could have helped.
Martha, thank you. Lori, go ahead.
Thank you so much for your question. Back in 2014, it was again, it was, I had no idea. This was a kid that was very honest, came from, came home from football practice and said, this is something I learned, Mom. It's called Mary Jane. I mean, he was extremely honest. So it was, for him, it wasn't a dabbling to help him. I guess I didn't look at it like that because it was a very quick fall in his character. All of a sudden, his grades were slipping. All of a sudden, he wasn't showing up for practice. And all of a sudden, things were missing out of our house so he could pay for, this new, thing that he loved. And that's what we were trying to help him with. And he realized that it was really in for him. So that's why everybody's different. And I think for medical marijuana, I think it's great. And I have, it's just different. I can only speak about my son. I'm not a, a medical professional, but I know the data. And I do believe that for my son, it was an opener because that was the first thing. He looked for that next thing after that to get somewhere higher in his brain because I believe it's just trying to feel better. No one's trying to die or hurt themselves at all. That's not what this is. This is about people seeking, their, it's really mental health is what I believe that this whole thing is. And so I know each state is different, but I can't really speak to, I just feel like for my son, his brain was hijacked and I really never got him back. And my surviving son will say the same thing. And really, even Archie, after surviving in, on a 3 month treatment program in the wilderness, he said it fogged his brain so much. So for him, it just wasn't a good fit.
A follow-up there. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call says the state's portion of legal settlements is a huge amount of money, but falls short of matching the impact that the epidemic has had. Sarah Sorum, in our few moments we have left together, what do you make of that sentiment?
Yeah, I mean, it is a really big issue, and Lori's right. There's an epidemic of mental health issues, particularly as we come out of the pandemic, an epidemic of loneliness. And it truly needs an all hands on deck approach. So while there is this huge infusion of resources, there will still be wish lists that communities will have, and how do we tackle this problem? And I think that's where we need to get creative. We need to work together, communicate, and truly view this as our really big collaborative effort to bring our state out of this epidemic.
Sarah Sorum, Executive Vice President, CEO of the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin. Lori Bedura, founder of Saving Others for Archie, on the morning show on the Ideas Network.